I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Yo, yo, yo. I figured I'd start the show with something new today. This is Marie. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX, or in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. We're everywhere. And next week is the annual funding drive here at CITR. I'm going to be joined by the lovely and amazing Surya Devi, who seems to come every year and support the show and support the station with her amazing music, and it's always so much fun. So please do tune in, and there are some awards or some gifts and prizes from My Yoga Online. We're going to be giving away some one-month memberships, as well as I have a couple of annual memberships for the website My Yoga Online. And so anywhere in the world where you are, if you donate, you can be entered into a draw to win a one-year membership for My Yoga Online. And also up for grabs is a one-night stay at the amazing Opus Hotel in Yaletown in Vancouver. So thank you so much to the Opus Hotel for their generous donation as well. And anyone who donates, I think $50 or more, is going to be entered into a draw for a chance to win that one night stay here in Vancouver. So definitely tune in and call, and whatever you can give, small, large, we need it all. So thank you. And today's guest, we're going to be speaking with Renee Peterson Trudeau. She is the author of Nurturing the Soul of Your Family, 10 ways to reconnect and find peace in everyday life. Welcome to the show, Renee.
Thank you, Marie. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate your work.
Thank you. So tell us now, tell us a little bit about your background, because in the book, you talk a little bit about your family growing up, as well as your family as an adult and your marriage and your kids. So can you give us a little bit of a summary of that?
Sure. I am the oldest of seven children, and had a really wonderful and unusual upbringing. Was exposed to a lot of different cultures. My parents were seekers, and we in the 1970s they did the back to kind of back to their roots or simplifying life, and they moved us all to Northern California, where we lived on Ananda, which is Paramahansa Yogananda's, you know, from Autobiography of a Yogi, mm-hmm. is his community. So I got to ride horses and do poetry and read the Bhagavad Gita and experience just a wonderful time of connecting with nature during those formative years. This was between the ages of about 10 to 16.
Awesome. And even though your parents were seekers, they had challenges in their marriage.
Well, you know, everybody, every family has, you know, I think we have the light and the dark, and we have the balance, trying to find the balance between being and doing. So while spirituality was really important in my family, and my parents were seekers, and they were always kind of questioning or prompting us to explore what is our connection or experience of God, there was also a lot of pressure in our family to achieve. So there was a real strong focus on the connection between what you're doing in the world and your self-worth. So even if they didn't use those words, that was a message I got, Marie, from really young. And so that played out in my career, as it has for many of us. And so there was a lot of raising the bar and pushing myself and being really hard on myself, particularly throughout my 20s and 30s, until I started to kind of wake up to, is there another way to be?
And so is there? Because I don't know any other way to be.
There's another way to be. Well, and I'll tell you, you know, all of us have these life-defining moments, right, that really impact kind of who we are and our past. And I lost my brother at age 20. I lost my parents in their 50s. They both died suddenly at 54, and my mom at 59. And I was working in corporate America at the time. We're very successful. I had a background in communications, was a communications executive. And I really after those losses, it really kind of stopped me in my tracks, particularly on a trip that I took to Europe, which I talk about in the book. I was visiting Dachau, the concentration camp outside of Munich, and was wandering the grounds. And this was kind of probably the first vacation I had had in about 2 years from corporate America. And I was wandering the grounds in Dachau and had my journal and sat down and started journaling and was asking myself, what does this experience mean to me here? And wrote something in my journal. And Marie, I started to feel nauseous and sick, and I started to think about my corporate job. And I thought, wow, what in the world am I doing thinking about my corporate job while I'm sitting here at Dachau? And of course, you know, there's no comparison, but I looked down in my journal, and in huge block letters was the word oppression. So on a visceral level, I had made a connection between just how out of balance and how oppressed I was feeling at work, and I went back and quit my job, this really juicy international corporate PR job, and that kind of began my journey in 1996 to begin to redefine what does balance look like and what would it look like for me to live in greater alignment with my purpose.
Beautiful. And so this is the thing, you kind of, it sounds like you were in a place where you were trying to have it all, because you did have the kids and the husband and the great career. You had the kids while you were working, right?
No, Jeff, no. My son did not come until after that.
Oh, so okay.
I was in a relationship, but we were not married yet, and I was, doing the corporate thing, had a great job, was not miserable, you know, was not depressed, but was really feeling this calling to just more fully show up, you know, as a whole person at work. I was kind of checking a lot of who I was at the door. You know, a lot of people can relate to that. They're not fully showing up as who they are, all aspects of themselves at work. And so that experience at Dachau really kind of put my feet to the fire about, okay, you know, you've lost your parents, you've lost your brother. You know, what do you want your life to look like? How bad, you know, what are you willing to do to create this? And how bad do you want to feel good? That's a question I often ask myself.
I love that. Well, I want to put out the number if anyone has a question for Renee, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We're talking about nurturing the soul of your family, 10 ways to reconnect and find peace in everyday life. And we were going to talk about self-care, and we will. But I had a couple of questions just as I was reading the book. You mentioned contrast, and that's kind of a buzzword that Abraham Hicks uses. I'm wondering if that's where you got it from, or is it from another source?
I did not get it from Abraham Hicks, although I love the work of Abraham. My background also included a lot of work in leadership and organizational development, which kind of led me down the path into coaching. I have two sister companies, and one of our companies is completely focused on career coaching consulting. So we help a lot of people with career change and career transition. And so a lot of times that comes up, Marie, this idea of, you know, having contrast and not, you know, looking at what is our life showing us, what is our life trying to tell us, and looking at that as a gift.
So how do you coach your clients? Because we hear this, the challenges are a gift and all of that, but when we're living through them, they don't seem really that way unless we have someone awesome like you reminding us. So how do we get into the habit of remembering, oh my God, this is awful. Oh yeah, okay, there must be something good from this.
Right. Well, I think one of the most essential things, and this ties into self-care that we're going to explore in just a little bit, is surrounding yourself with people and circumstances that are going to help you remember who you really are. Mm-hmm. Who you really are. So not how you have to show up for other people or how you think you should show up or should look, but really at your essence, who you are. I mean, this powerful, brilliant being of light. And so what people can you consciously choose to have in your support network? What circumstances can you consciously choose to be in, groups, organizations, but really being mindful about that circle, that, you know, picturing yourself in the middle of this beautiful support circle of individuals and circumstances that are going to remind you of who you really are.
Mm. And that is quite a focus in your book. You talk about how you went out and you created these groups for yourself.
Yeah, the joke in my house is with my husband, when I'm walking, you know, if I'm going out at night, he's like, okay, what women's circle or what group are you going to tonight? Because I'm a big believer in the power of groups, and particularly the power of intentional circles. And in fact, a big part of the work I do now is around women's circles, and that really came about after I had my son Jonah in 2002 and was seeking support and couldn't find the kind of support that I was looking for. Everything was kind of mommy-focused, and I was looking for something that was more focused on me as a whole woman and as a creative being as well as a mother. And so I started this first renewal group, and then the groups exploded, and now we mentor and coach women around the world to lead these groups based on my first book.
Cool. Is there a website for that organization?
Yeah, it's ReneeTrudeau.com. Okay. You can find groups, and we've got groups in 10 countries around the world.
Awesome. Okay, well, I am going to go to a break before we talk about self-care. So this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking with Renee Peterson Trudeau, the author of Nurturing the Soul of Your Family, 10 Ways to Reconnect and Find Peace in Everyday Life. And we'll be back with more Synchronicity in a couple of minutes.
One of the great jazz musicians of his time, Big Miller, was born in Sioux City, Iowa in 1922. Miller studied trombone in high school and developed his unique singing voice as a Kansas City blues shouter. He sang with the legendary Duke Ellington and made his debut in Canada at Toronto in 1962. Miller found himself stranded in Vancouver when one of his tours ran out of money. He finally settled in Edmonton in 1970, where he became a fixture in the city's and province's jazz and blues scene. The next clip is from a performance of I Want to Please You, Baby, recorded live at Athabasca University in 1990.
Been so long, I've been a lonely. Hope I don't do nothing. Lord, I don't do nothing. I want to please you.
This PSA was brought to you in support of Black History Month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Where's the money?
CITR.
You want that money?
CITR.
Where's the money?
CITR.
Where's the money?
CITR.
Where's the f***ing money?
CITR.
The 2013 CITR Fund Drive is from February 28th to March 8th. Our goal is to raise $30,000 bills to help get new soundboards in all three of our studios. This means we need help from listeners just like you. To donate, call 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. Or go online to citr.ca and help support the station you love.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and yes, Fun Drive is coming up next week. We need some new soundboards badly. And this is a community radio station, so we need help from the community and listeners like you. So please tune in next week and donate to Synchronicity, because we have some gifts and the lovely Surya Devi is going to be on the air. And I'll see if I can bring some other stuff and books and whatever. We've also got a one-night stay at Opus Hotel up for grabs. And some My Yoga Online membership. So thank you for that. And yeah, I'll see what else I can wrangle up before next Monday. Today we are speaking with Renee Peterson Trudeau, author of Nurturing the Soul of Your Family, 10 Ways to Reconnect and Find Peace in Everyday Life. And we were talking about support networks and groups. And you, Renee, mentioned that you really believe in the power of groups. And so many times people will get together for like a mastermind group or a networking group. But I mean, do you do groups just to like have fun and relax?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's some wonderful research out. I know UCLA did a study, and there's other research, Marie, and it talks about particularly, I mean, this is great for men as well, but women, when we gather, and we're connecting. So whether it is a mastermind or whether it's a self-renewal circle or whether it's just, you know, connecting from the heart and just having fun, I mean, just sharing a meal or being together, our serotonin levels go up. We release oxytocin, which is the cuddle hormone, you know, the love hormone. So when we leave these gatherings or these intentional times with our friends, it's really affecting us on so many levels. It's not just a, you know, coming together. So it is so essential for all of us. I mean, I have some girlfriends and they'll say, you know, I know you do all that stuff, Renee, but I'm not a group person, you know. And then they'll come to something and they'll circle back and be like, wow, now I know why you always do that group stuff.
Aw, that's nice. And so I am curious, though, when you talk about nurturing the soul of your family, does that mean, is that just for people who have kids or can it be any kind of family?
It can be any kind of family. It, you know, more than anything, it's, I'll say a couple things about this book, and I'd be happy to share how it came to be, too, which is really interesting. But more than anything, it's nurturing your soul, your essence. So whether you are doing that, whether you're single and you're doing that for yourself, really connecting to what is my soul, what is the voice of my soul, what is my essence, and connecting to that, or whether it's in partnership with another person or if it's with a family. And part of that journey, Marie, is first defining that. You know, for a lot of people, they don't really think about having a relationship with their soul. And so we give, you know, there's some exercises and there's some free stuff on the website that kind of helps you begin that journey. What's really important to me? You know, one question that I love to ask clients in our coaches do is really, what's most important to you at this life stage? That can also be very illuminating in terms of your path and your purpose. What's most important to me at this life stage? Is it creative expression? Is it tapping into a larger community? Is it really nurturing my spirit and my connection to source? What is it that's most important to me at this life stage? And so that's really what nurturing your soul is all about, regardless of whether or not you have kids.
Awesome. Thank you. Because, yeah, I was reading it and I was really enjoying your book, but I was also kind of feeling like, well, I don't know if this is really for me because I don't have a family. So,
and I'll share. Can I share something?
Yeah.
So, when I one way that I like to create projects is I know everyone's different when they write a book or they birth something new, whether it's a new job or whatever it may be. And for me, I just wait till it comes to me. It kind of comes up and taps me on the shoulder, and it keeps tapping and tapping until I finally say yes. And that's what happened with those groups in my first book. And so with this project, I was sitting in a meditation, and I had been doing, well, I'll back up. I had been doing some research for a couple of years, Maria, on everyday spirituality. I'm really fascinated by how people connect to source or God or whatever that is, a universal life force, in the everyday. So while we're, you know, washing dishes and taking care of pets and driving and we're in meetings with staff members or team members, all those ways, how do we feel God or feel source in those everyday moments? So I did a lot of research, and it was really interesting to hear people's responses. And the people that I interviewed were between the ages of roughly about 25 to 65, half men, half women, all life stages. And do you know what the number one portal was for connecting to the divine?
What?
Being in nature.
Oh, I thought you were going to say doing it.
Well, I think there's a lot of sacredness that can come from that, too. But being in nature was number one. And then as a follow-up to that, we said, okay, well, how much time do you spend in nature? Hardly any, mm-hmm. is what most people said. So that really led me down this path, which my second book was supposed to be on everyday spirituality. So I had I talked to my my agent and my publisher, and we were moving forward on this book on everyday spirituality. And then I'll come back to my meditation. I'm sitting on my purple meditation cushion one morning, and I hear very clearly, this book is supposed to be for families, and this book is going to be called Nurturing the Soul of Your Family. Mm-hmm. And I reacted very strongly, because even though I love the work with parents and with mothers, I really serve everyone, people at all different life stages, and I wasn't a parenting coach, so I thought, wow, am I even qualified to write this, you know? But it kept coming through very clearly, no, this book is for families, and it's called Nurturing the Soul of Your Family. So I went back to my publisher and my editor, and I said, okay, I know we've already kind of locked into this path, but I'm really hearing that this book is supposed to, you know, be for families, and this is the title. And they were very supportive and they were on board. However, they said, you know, the title's not going to work, though. And I said, okay. And they said, come up with 10 other titles. So I did some brainstorming, and I came up with some other titles, and they went away. You know, it takes a long time to have a book come out, so this was a couple months. And they came back, and they said, okay, we met as a team, and we've come up with the perfect title for your book. I'm like, okay, it's going to be the Nurturing the Soul of Your Family. So I felt that, you know, that chill that goes down your spine, and you're like, okay, well, I'm just being tapped here to do this. So this is clearly, you know, this book has a mind of its own.
That's funny. Well, another thing that I found interesting, I liked how you talked about starting the day off right with your family. Mm-hmm. And there's a little story about how you had a disagreement with your son mm-hmm. one day. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I'll go back a little bit to my family. As you can imagine, growing up in a really big family, the mornings were complete chaos. I mean, I grew up with four brothers, and then the youngest in our family, the twins, came later. So the mornings were just crazy, and I didn't really realize it at the time, but I have a somewhat sensitive nature, and I think it was just I would leave every morning going to, you know, school just really stressed out, and I kept that with me. And so when I began to when I became a parent and began to look at how we wanted to create and enter our day, that memory came back to me. And I've also, you know, done a lot of research through my own experience and also through, you know, work around spiritual and human development. And we know that it's been shown that even just taking 5 minutes in the morning, whether that is meditation, whether it's setting an intention, whether it's going into gratitude, but intentionally entering your day has a huge impact over the course of your entire day. So one of the stories that I shared was, one morning, my son was in complete disequilibrium, and it was just one of those horrible mornings where it kind of starts off bad and then just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And you're like, oh, really? Like, we're all going to enter the day this way? And his dad was taking him to school, and he left. And I was actually so just so ruffled by that, and I had, you know, conference calls and meetings and a lot of stuff on my plate. But I took a moment, and his school is not far away, and I wrote him a note and brought it over there to school, and I just, you know, just I love you, and you're in my heart, and I wish we could do it. We talk a lot about doing resets. We could do a reset, start the day over. And his teacher, who's just amazing, she called me and left me a message later on my voicemail, and she's like, she and my son, Jonah, both sat there and just cried. Like, it meant so much to him. So I think it's just a reminder that we have that opportunity to think about how do we want to enter our day intentionally, and that we always have the opportunity to reset and start over and remember people first and things second. So a lot of times that rushing about comes, or that disconnect with people that we're in relationship with, it comes when we're putting things or goals or deadlines before people, you know, before we're coming from our hearts.
So let's talk about this reset. So what do you do to reset your day?
So, it can be as simple as just pausing. I mean, just stopping and pausing and being like, is this really the direction that I want to go? I do a lot of somatic work. I just got trained to be a yoga nidra teacher with Richard Miller, if you're familiar with his work. It's wonderful. And so a lot of the somatic work, it can be as simple, Maria, as just closing your eyes. And you can put one hand over the center of your chest. And just checking in and seeing if there's a part of your body that's calling for your attention. And then acknowledging that part of your body and asking, is there anything that I need to hear? Is there any action that I need to take? And so letting the wisdom of your body talk to you. And as we begin to pay closer attention to our bodies, that will also tell us whether or not we're in flow or we're out of flow as we enter the day. You know, so I always go back to the body. Usually we'll feel it. You know, I'm sure your listeners can relate to this. We feel it often in our stomachs, or we feel that tightness across our chest, or we feel it in our upper backs. But if we'll just pause and slow down and tune into the wisdom of our bodies and really see, is this how I want to enter the day, then we can just take a moment and be like, okay, I want to reset. One thing that we talk about in our family is dropping history. So a lot of times, you know, you can be engaged in a disagreement or you're talking about something and you can tell. I mean, I see myself do this all the time where you start, it's like, you know, open the file cabinet, you know, and pull out, you know, story number 59 where he did this to me or she did that to me, you know. And so we'll joke, and my son will do it. You know, he's 10, and he'll say, can we just drop history here, you know? So it's this invitation to, like, just start fresh. You know, start that encounter fresh and reset and enter your day however will best serve you. And you can do that at 5 p.m., you know. I mean, it doesn't have to be at the beginning of the day, and we can reset as many times as we need to, which is a good thing.
Well, Renee, it's interesting. I just opened your book, and I'm on page 110, mm-hmm. and it says here, every day, talk, share, connect, and state your needs. And it says, at a minimum, take 10 minutes at the end of each day to take turns sharing the highs and lows of your day, anticipating tomorrow, and asking for what you might need, saying, three things I need from our relationship now are... That's like, wow. So you want people to ask for three things every day that they need.
Well, and that, I think, do it as often as you need to, you know? And I remember when I was writing that, I just did this weekend with my husband. I had a really challenging week. We just did a lot of big new launches and things around my business, and it was a really challenging week. And so this weekend I had to, I mean, literally say, you know, take me in your arms. This is what I need to hear. And that took years. I mean, I'm 47 now, and it took a long, long time to get to that place where I didn't expect him to know what I needed, or I didn't get ruffled or expect him to read my face or read my body language, but that I loved myself enough and I was in touch enough with my needs to say, this is what I need, you know, and then everybody's happier. Then we can move on. You know, I can get my needs met and everyone feels more complete rather than waiting for people to either state their needs or guess what they need.
Okay, I want to get into that a little bit because this is, I feel like I'm pretty in touch with my needs and that I'm pretty good at communicating my needs. But as I'm dating someone new right now, and it's very, very new. So, but I'm noticing that I'm actually not as good at it as I thought.
Because, it's a journey, for sure.
Because I feel like I'm asking for it, and I feel like I'm being really clear, and I see that he's making an effort, and it's just like, no, this is just all wrong. And then rather than clarifying, because I don't want to be a nag or a pain, I don't say anything. And then it builds and builds, and then we have to have this big conversation because I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And the poor guy, I mean, bless his heart, he's like putting up with this right now for...
We can all relate to that. Well, and I think a big piece of that, Marie, and this is so huge, it is self-care, which if I can just take a second and define kind of what I mean by self-care, I really see it as it's really a practice that you develop. There's like an art to it. And it's really about attuning and responding to your deepest needs and desires. And in order to do that, we usually have to slow down and create the space to get quiet enough and hear what's there. I mean, I remember for years I could think, oh, I think I need this or I think I want this, but I was really moving so fast that I wasn't creating the space to really drop in, you know? I mean, it's even you think about food sometimes and we're like, oh, I'm stressed. I need some chocolate. It's like, okay, chocolate sounds good and that's great. And chocolate, we love chocolate, but let's just pause for a minute and let's just go a little bit deeper. Is that really what you need to feel nourished? And if you drop in, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's a spinach salad, you know? So it's that creating the space and the time and pausing to be able to attune to what we really need, and moment to moment, you know, that's why I say self-care is such a moment to moment practice. You know, we may, and I teach self-care, I lead a lot of women's retreats, and when I first introduce this concept, we'll talk about, you know, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual care, and we'll kind of get people to help them wrap their minds around this concept of self-care. And a lot of people think they need to run out and schedule massages and schedule jogs and schedule therapy or coaching appointments or whatever it is they think they need. But really, my heart's desire is, yes, do those things if you really feel called to do them, but more importantly, slow down enough to be able to attune and respond to what you need moment to moment. Because often that surprises us. I know the other day, I heard you talking about yoga. I'm a big yogini, and I love yoga, do a lot of yoga, and was going to a class, one of my favorite classes, and had planned on it, had my yoga clothes, had created the time in my work schedule to make it happen, and I got this really clear feeling in my body around my heart center. I heard this little voice say, you know, I really, I need to slow down, and I need to do some journaling, and I need to get quiet. And I need to be alone. And even though yoga is good for me, in that moment, what I needed, and I think it was the anniversary of my grandmother's death, and I think it was bringing some stuff up for me, I needed to be quiet and do some emotional self-care. Does that make sense?
It does, and it brings up another question for me, though. So how do you get past that? And I'm just guessing that you might have this because I feel like a lot of us do. When a need comes up, we reject that need. Like, no, I'm supposed to go to yoga. I've made all these plans. This is good for me. If I don't go, then I'll be fat next week. And, you know, so I can't journal because I need. So how do you?
So here's the thing. Here's what's interesting. So I lead a lot of retreats at Kripalu Yoga and Wellness Center, which I love. It's such a I highly recommend that as a place to visit, even for the day. But one of the things when I first start the weekend and we talk about kind of how to get the most from the experience is I talk about if you're one of those people that always tends to push yourself or challenge yourself. You know, I've got to go jogging. I've got to get to that class. I said I was going to do it, so I've got to make it happen. I've got to throw my commitments. For you, self-care might very well look like doing a lot less and slowing down. And for those, and I've got other friends who they say, you know, my tendency is to be a couch potato. I can't ever get off the couch. Then you are the personality that probably does need to put a little fire under the feet and get to the yoga class. So part of this is, again, knowing your tendency and knowing how you're wired and beginning to cultivate this real sweetness for yourself. If you were to think of yourself, you know, as your best friend and really treat her with so much love and so much compassion and so much forgiveness and really say, okay, I know we'd planned on doing this, but what's really going to serve you in this moment? And again, sometimes it helps to put your hand over your heart center and just slow down and hear. And the heart always knows. You know, it always knows. That's why I just love dropping into the wisdom of the heart and letting that guide you. But this whole practice of self-care, it is a journey, and it takes time. I mean, the one thing that I say is I've been doing this full time. I mean, teaching and practicing and absorbing this, you know, for 13 years full time as part of my work. And I still have a long way to go. And it has been the single most powerful practice, really spiritual practice for me, that I have ever adopted, the practice of self-care. So I think a lot of times, you know, I hope that we're kind of opening up or expanding people's minds beyond, you know, the getting a massage or, you know, going to a yoga class, which are wonderful things, and really looking at, you know, maybe it is pulling back and doing less. Maybe it's dropping self-criticism. Maybe it's reaching out and asking for help. Maybe it's just taking time to slow down and really hear what I need in the moment.
It's interesting because we tend to, many of us tend to not take time for self-care because we have so much going on and there's so many other people counting on us and priorities and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that we are looking externally to fill those things within ourselves. So then we're potentially blaming our friends and our partners and our jobs and all of that because we're feeling all this stress and pain and tension.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's funny, I'm preparing my son to go into junior high next year. And if anyone remembers like sixth grade or junior high, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so the one thing my mantra I keep going back to with him is, you know, be true to you, be true to you, be true to you. So if we're true to ourselves and we are responding to what we need. And if that means saying no, or if that means even saying, let me think about it before we're asked to do something, and just beginning to cultivate this deeper relationship with ourselves, Marie, we will never go wrong. We will never go wrong. And that's what I have learned. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, I know she really wants me to do this, or I said I would do this, or they really need me, or I'm the only one that can do it. And what happens? We get resentful, we get pissed off. I mean, it's just, it creates this whole cycle and brings us down this whole road that really doesn't serve anyone. But if we can stay true to what I call our wise self, that part of us that will, as we begin to slow down and begin to connect with our inner world, our wise self will tell us, today is a day to go slower. Today is a day to practice self-compassion. Just trust that everything will get done this week, but today is a day where you are feeling tender and you need to really attune to, you know, emotional or spiritual self-care, whatever's coming up for you. So that has been my journey. And I'll tell you, I mean, it's funny, I meet people now and they say, oh, well, you seem like you're so calm, or you seem like, you know, you're kind of chilled about all this. And I'll say, well, you know, don't be fooled, because I'm a type A overachiever. And so it's a constant battle for me to come into this balance around being and doing and not have my self-worth so tied up into outcome, into doing things, or even if it's serving and teaching and doing good work in the world, we can still do too much. But come into this place of really, you know, my ordinary self is enough. I don't need to prove anything to anyone or, you know, do a lot of stuff in order to be worthy. My ordinary self is enough. And that has only come to me through this day-to-day practice, one foot in front of the next, of self-care.
I need to do more self-care. I feel like I always feel like I'm working on myself. And it's interesting. I was talking with a friend just this morning and about the whole dating drama stuff. And she was like, well, you need to work on yourself more and be better. And I was like, no, you know what? I need to stop working on myself.
Yeah.
And tell my inner voice to shut the hell up, because yeah, I'm actually pretty awesome the way I am. And it doesn't mean that I don't have a lot to work on, because I do. But if I'm always working on myself, that means I'm never in a place of actually accepting that I'm good enough right now.
Right. Oh, it's exhausting. And we live in this culture, you know, that through obvious ways and also more subconscious ways, we're getting this message that we're self-improvement projects.
Yeah.
You know, we're not self-improvement projects. It's like we are enough as we are. And so, you know, whatever life stage you're at, we want to embody that, particularly as a parent, because you want to model that. I mean, you don't want your kids to think, I'm only as good as my last science project or my last, you know, championship win at, you know, track or whatever it was. That's not the message that we want to send. So I'm with you. I'm with you. Sometimes it's particularly, I think, when you're on this path where you really enjoy stretching and growing and human potential and self-expression, it can be really easy to always look at, you know, trying or, you know, taking a class or the next big thing. But sometimes we just need to stop and know that everything we need to know is within us. And that's really why I wrote this book, and I hope that message comes through, Marie, over and over again, that I talk about returning to the river within, returning to that river of well-being and that source that moves through all of us. And you don't need to go, you know, fix yourself, or you don't need to go somewhere special or hire someone or craft something or bake something, but that source, that river of well-being is within each of us. But it's really, we're really being called to slow down and to tune in and to connect to that. And once we connect to that, oh, it feels so good.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
So, Renee, do you want to do like a little mini self-care exercise right now?
Sure.
Do you have anything on the top of your...
Sure. We can do a little, you want to do a little... guided visualization, or?
Ooh, that sounds juicy, yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, so just inviting your listeners, wherever they are, you can't do this if you're driving, but wherever you are, if you're in a place that you can just pause for a couple minutes, and invite you to close your eyes and bring your awareness inward and connect to your breath. And I love to say that life breathes me. Life breathes me. So connecting to your breath, if you just pause for a minute and think about the four areas of self-care that I talked about earlier. So physical self-care, you know, we think about getting enough sleep, eating foods that energize us, really nurturing our bodies. Mental self-care might be stretching ourselves to learn something new, learn a new hobby or skill, or maybe get training. Emotional self-care might be having a heart-to-heart with a close friend, journaling, getting some counseling. And spiritual self-care could be spending time in nature, prayer, meditation, service, volunteer work. So putting your left hand and your right hand over the center of your chest, we call your heart center, and with the deepest love and compassion, just tuning in, which of the four areas of self-care is calling to you right now? Not what you should do, but what your wise self is guiding you to look at. We talked about physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual self-care. And then as you identify which of those areas, again, coming from inside out, not what you should do, is there one action that you're feeling called to take in that area? And maybe it's not an action. Maybe it's adopting a new belief or mantra, or maybe it's releasing an old self-limiting thought or belief. So which of the four areas calls to you, and are you feeling called to take an action or to drop or release or embrace something as it relates to that one area of self-care? And then taking a deep breath through your nose, and letting it out to your mouth with a sigh. And one more deep breath into your nose. Letting it out with a sigh. And just thanking your sweet being for always guiding you to exactly what you need moment to moment. That wisdom is always there. It's ever present. Wherever you are, in your car, or going for a walk, or if you're in the middle of a fight with your partner, or you're disciplining your child, you can just stop right then and right there and put your hands over your heart center and just tune in to what you need in that moment and respond and begin to cultivate that relationship with your sweet self.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Did you get an area, Marie? Did you hear anything?
I have thought. I was trying to, like, because I'm so in my head. I'm actually going to the chiropractor today. Hoping to clear out my central nervous system, because I'm actually having like so many thoughts I can't even stop.
Yeah.
And usually the chiropractor helps balance that out.
Yep. Good.
But all day I've actually, and when you mentioned spiritual and you mentioned nature, it came up again this morning. I was thinking about Van Dusen Gardens, which is a beautiful garden here in Vancouver.
And I was
thinking about it earlier this morning, and then when you mentioned nature, I was like, oh my gosh, like I need to go there.
Absolutely. You know, I mentioned that I had a really hard week and a lot of stress, and I was really just at one point just feeling down. I'm in the middle of a lot of personal and professional expansion and growth, which is really exciting, but it's taking a lot of my life force.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had really gotten depleted, even though I was doing regular self-care. This was kind of like a deeper level of depletion. And a friend of mine reached out to me and she said, I'm going to be there in 30 minutes. This is Friday afternoon. She's like, I'm taking you down the green belt, which we have this beautiful 12-mile green belt. I live in Austin, Texas, and we're in the middle of a lot of nature. So we went down the green belt. And then I went back to the same greenbelt the next day. And then I went to a beautiful river and waterfalls that we have close by the following day. And then today, after I talk to you, I'm going to pick up my son and his best friend, and I'm taking them back to the greenbelt to see a 3-foot-long snake.
Wow.
A dead snake.
Ooh,
yeah,
exciting.
That I've seen on the greenbelt. So, yeah, I mean, nature is, it's the ultimate antidepressant. It is. It's such a powerful, powerful healing force. And so many times when I need to get recalibrated or reset, you know, on a bigger level, it's nature does the trick every time.
So how much nature do you recommend? Because there's like a park down the street from my house, but it's, you know, pretty urban and there are trees, but it's, you know, it's in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or is it better to get? Because I always feel like if I want to have nature, like I might not have time to go to the beach or the forest.
Right, right, absolutely. Any nature is good nature. And you know, even better is barefoot. So if you can take off your shoes and really just feel your feet on the earth, it can be incredibly grounding. And yet we've got friends, I mean, I'm sure that are listening, that are in a lot of urban areas and they don't have access to parks or, you know, bigger nature expanses. So absolutely can just go in your backyard or your patio and feel the sun and really stand on the earth or sit on the earth. Whenever I can, I try to take my blanket outside and eat meals. We eat a lot of meals. We always carry blankets in our cars and blankets everywhere we go so we can have impromptu picnics. And even little doses, you know. And there's so much happening. I mean, it's boosting our mood. And then I've also done a lot of research on the science of this. I mean, from getting vitamin D to, you know, all of the physiological benefits on our brain chemistry that come from being in nature. And a lot of times we forget. We think it has to be this big ordeal, right? We think it has to be going to the ocean or going on this big trip. But just regular doses of being out in nature is so powerful.
I'm growing sprouts in my kitchen. Does that count as nature?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, making a salad. When I make meals or make food, I like to really pour a lot of love into what I'm cooking. When I have time, I really enjoy cooking. So making a salad for yourself and just blessing the food and really enjoying it and eating it in a mindful way does so much for us. Oh, so many ways to nurture ourselves, so many little ways. You know, it doesn't have to be this big thing. It can be just a moment-to-moment experience. And I will tell you, Marie, that it took a lot of practice. This is not something that came easy to me. I had to kind of fake it till, you know, fake it till you make it. I had to keep doing this over and over again. And one thing that really helped me was every morning, and the women in our renewal groups do this every morning before I step a foot out of bed, and even if you've got little people crawling on you, which that happens to a lot of parents in the morning, just take a moment and do a scan, do a body scan, and just tune in to how you're doing and what you really need today. Because so many times we just bound out of bed and we're on the iPhone or on the computer and it's music and we just, you know, we kind of get assaulted. And so just take this moment to tune in. What do I need today? And the more you do it, the more you'll start to, the more easy it will become to hear this voice like, I've actually got way too much on my schedule today. You know, I need to pull back on that. Or, wait, you know that partnership or opportunity that just came to me? I need to revisit that because something doesn't feel right. Something's not sitting with me right. Or, it is the anniversary of my grandmother's death today. I need to take it slow. I need to build in some time to really nurture my heart. So the more we can do those body scans each morning, the more we'll attune to what it is we need and really be able to hear that. And if a lot of your listeners are thinking, you know, this woman is crazy. She's talking about slowing down. I don't have time to slow down. My life is so fast. I've got deadlines. I've got this. I've got that. I can understand. I have an international business, too, and I completely know what it's like when you feel like they're all the have-tos and staff is coming at you and you've got hundreds of emails. But I will tell you, my experience has been that when I slow down and I put my needs first, I'm more wise at work, I'm more effective, I'm more prosperous, everything flows. So it's counter to what we think, but it is one of the best things we can do for ourselves on a personal level and on a professional level.
Well, and I need to ask you again, because I know I'm going to judge myself for my needs. I do this. It's an issue I have. So
you feel like you can't. So when something comes up, you feel like that is it around worthiness, like I don't deserve to meet this need right now, or what is, tell me a little bit about it.
Well, I'm like really sensitive, and so like a lot more sensitive than most people, and I have like lots of trauma in my past and all that, right?
Yeah.
So I constantly, like, I do kind of, I observe other people, and I think that I do have, I need more of certain things than other people.
Yes.
And so I judge myself for that.
No. So one of my best friends, she is this way too. And she's, many of us are sensitives and we're empaths. And she's got three kids and she's an artist and she's an empath. And she needs a lot of time alone and she needs a lot of time connecting with her art. And we were talking and she said, you know, I keep beating myself up because I look around and nobody else seems to need what I need.
Yes, yes.
You know? And so I can really hear that. And I say, oh, my gosh, Nina, this is so about you really meeting your needs and honoring your path. And it's going to look different for every single one of us. Audre Lorde has the quote that self-care is not about self-indulgence. It's about self-preservation. So this isn't fluffy. This isn't you being selfish or self-indulgent. This is self-preservation. This is what Marie needs to thrive and to be whole in the world, whatever that looks like. If that looks like, you know, working 2 days a week and taking 3 days off, I mean, whatever that looks like. And sometimes we kind of get shocked by what will come up when we begin to attune to our needs. We'll hear, oh, my God, I could never do that. But I'll tell you, you can. I'm actually about to, it's going to go out later this week. I just blogged about my experience that I just took 5 days to unplug. I went off the grid, completely off email, completely off everything, because I so needed to replenish before I started my book launch. And most people looked at me like I was crazy. How can you do that? You're getting, you know, hundreds of emails and all kinds of things are coming in for you right now. And I said, well, if I didn't do that, it would have been like betraying myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how essential it was for me to take a stand for myself and to take this time away.
Oh my God, I'm like tearing right now. It's so important. And even though like everyone who listens to this show, I know that we all know how important it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't be the only one who's struggling with this.
No, it's huge. It's huge. And you know, I hope that in hearing our dialogue, people will feel this permission that it's not selfish, it's not self-indulgent, it's your birthright, and it is essential that you do this. And when a lot of people first begin this practice, they think, well, I can't do this for myself, but I'm hearing what you say, and I'm seeing the value that if I do this, my children and the other people in my family will benefit. And if that's what's coming up, that is more than okay, because that's very true. I mean, there's tremendous benefit. Everyone around you will benefit. But at the core, it is your birthright. And that's why I really call it a spiritual practice. It's the way that I feel a way of honoring that from which I came, from the sacred origins, is when I practice self-care and I really am loving and self-compassionate and gentle with myself.
Beautiful. Well, I'm debating, do I play an ad now or wait till the end? I'm just so much enjoying our conversation. We are speaking with Renee Peterson Trudeau. She's the author of Nurturing the Soul of Your Family, 10 Ways to Reconnect and Find Peace in Everyday Life. And this is really about nurturing your own soul. And so you don't just have to have family. You can be single or you can be in a partnership without kids. You're still going to get benefit from this book. And you can go to Renee's website, which is reneetrudeau.com. Coming up in just a few minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown. So stick around for that. And Renee, we have about 5 minutes left in the show. And I'm just wondering what you would like to spend that on.
I think maybe touching on this idea of, I think when we start to talk about what we're exploring are new ways of being, I talk a lot about new ways of being, that this isn't us becoming self-improvement projects or fixing ourselves. It's really coming into the highest expression of who we are. So beginning to open up to a new way of being. And one of the things that I found personally really serves Marie is to move into a mindset or a space of possibility, to imagine. So So at the end of each chapter of the book, and you can get some free chapters on our website. We'd love for you to buy the book, but you can also get some free chapters at renetrudeau.com. But at the end of the chapter, I'll bring you into an exercise called Imagine, and I ask you three questions related to the theme. So it's really imagining what would my life look like and feel like, for example, if I begin to attune and respond to my needs every day. What would my life look like if I begin to attune and respond to my needs every day? How might my relationships shift? My relationship with myself, my relationship with those I love, if I begin to attune and respond to my needs. What is possible for me in the world as a brilliant being of light, as a creator and a manifester? What is possible for me as I begin to really meet my needs, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, on every level? What would happen if I unleashed my full creative potential because I felt so full and so cared for and so nurtured and so loved by myself? So that's the invitation that I would leave people with, is to move, and it's very helpful for us not to criticize or think there are things we need to do or should do, but to just begin to play within this space of imagining possibility and potential. And that's what I would love for our listeners.
Oh, thank you so much, Renee. I knew that it would be a pleasure to talk to you because your book is lovely, but it's just really touched my heart, and I hope that it's helped someone out there. I have a feeling that it will have. Thank you for the work that you're doing in the world.
Thank you, Marie, for the work that you're doing. And this has been a privilege and a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, you're welcome back on the show anytime.
Thank you.
Thanks,
take care.
Renee. Okay, so that was Renee Peterson Trudeau. She is the author of Nurturing the Soul of Your Family, 10 Ways to Reconnect and Find Peace in Everyday Life. And you can find her at reneetrudeau.com. And I didn't even do an intro for Renee. She's an internationally recognized life balance coach, speaker, and author. And her work has appeared in the New York Times, Good Housekeeping, and numerous other media outlets. She also leads life balance workshops and retreats for Fortune 500 companies, conferences, and organizations worldwide. And again, her website is reneetrudeau.com. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. My website is spiritualshow.com. And remember to tune in next week, because we do need you. We need your help. We need your cash. We need whatever energy you can send our way, because this is a community-run station and we're doing our fun drive. So join me and Surya Devi next week for lots of music and sing-alongs and asking for your donations. We'll be coming up next is Parts Unknown. So I just want to send you extra love today. And remember to take time for yourself. Take time to think and feel and sit with what you need, and give that to yourself today. Love you so much. Be well. Namaste.
Here at CITR,